starting to come down with a cold.
I got it from my wife. She's hard to stay away from. So, I may not talk very long today. Is that okay? Or I may. I don't know. I don't plan these things with regard to length. I just kind of plan them with regard to what I want to say. I'm talking this month about marriage and family. And specifically three things about marriage and family. Commitment, sacrifice, and faithfulness. And last week we talked about commitment. That family begins with and is maintained by commitment. We make a commitment. And nobody makes us do that. We choose to do that. We choose to marry somebody. We choose to have children. And when we make that choice, we make a commitment, and it's one that we must keep. Because if we don't keep it, then that family can't survive. And it certainly can't be what God intends for it to be. But following upon the heels of commitment, of course, is sacrifice. Once you've committed yourself to being in a relationship, relationships require sacrifice. And this is one of these sermons where I'm going to make all the points that I'm going to make, and then we're going to go through the scriptures and show how those points are valid. You see, when you enter a relationship with somebody, you just can't think about yourself and only yourself. You can't. Because that's the opposite of being in a relationship. When all you do is think about yourself, then you don't have a relationship. You're not really in it. To be in a relationship means you've got to stop thinking about yourself and think about this other person. And that's true if it's your wife or your husband or your children or your mom or your dad. And that's what sacrifice is. Sacrifice is, as well, it's not just about me anymore. It's about this other person. So I first sacrifice my thoughts. I give my thoughts to that other person. I'm thinking about them, not just about me. It also means that you do things that aren't for you. A typical way that people think in life is what's in it for me? Well, when you're in a relationship and you really do care about this other person, then there may be things that you're going to do that aren't for you at all. They're not for you. They're for them. And you might say, well, I still get something out of that. I get the pleasure of seeing them happy, and I get closer to them, and as a consequence of getting closer to them, they do things for me. And all of that's true, but that's not how you go into it. You go into it saying, I'm doing this for you. I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for you because you're my child, because you're my spouse. For you, not for me, for you. That's what real sacrifice is. Also, you don't get what you want. You certainly don't get everything you want. You sacrifice getting what you want so that the relationship can survive and flourish and progress. And there are just some things that you want that you're not going to get. And you're okay with that. Now, it's a bit of a struggle to be okay with it. And sometimes we fight being okay with it. But in the end, if you really are willing to have a great family, then you say, I'm not going to get what I want. And I'm okay. In fact, sometimes you give up things that you want. You give them up. You have them, but you sacrifice them. And that's the essence of sacrifice. You have something that is of value. If it has no value, then it's not really a sacrifice. It's like, you know, Johnny saying to his sister Susie, "I'll let you have my Brussels sprouts. I'll give that up if you'll let me have your French fries." That's not a sacrifice. That's not even a bargain. That's a steal. Sacrifice means you have something of value to you, and you give it up, and you make that choice. That's what it means. The first time I really learned and grasped this concept as a child is when there was only one popsicle. And Dad gave it to me. He wanted a popsicle. He wanted both of us to have popsicles, but there was only one. He gave it to me. And don't gripe about it. Now that's a tough one. That's a hard part of sacrifice, because you know, if you gripe about it, not so much a sacrifice as, well, I gotta go do this, I gotta do this, that's not a sacrifice. That is not a sacrifice. And it certainly doesn't build the kind of rapport and the environment of love and mutual concern that sacrifice in relationships and sacrifices in marriage and sacrifices in a family between parent and child that is supposed to be fostered, the atmosphere, the spirit, the true love that sacrifice is supposed to engender is not engendered when you gripe about it. You complain, and you make it some kind of an onerous duty that you have to perform, and you don't want to perform, and you let everybody know you don't want to perform. Well, that's not sacrifice. That's just being made to, which is not a sacrifice. And you certainly don't use your sacrifices to control other people, which is a really common problem, you know. Say, well, I've slaved away, and I did this, and all I'm asking for is that you do this one thing. Which is not wrong. It's not wrong that you did those things and that there ought to be some reciprocity. They ought to see that you did those things, and they ought to appreciate it, and they ought to come through and do this thing that you're asking them to do. That all of those things are true, but you shouldn't say it, those things, because that's not sacrifice. When you go certain places in the world and you're in a busy city center, you will encounter these people in the squares and places who will walk up to you with flowers or something else, and they will put one in your hand. Put it in your hand like it's some kind of a gift. Oh, this is so nice. If you have your wife with you, say, oh, here's this something for you to give to your wife. Oh, this is really generous of you. For you to give me this rose or this flower, or the, you know. But then the demand comes. €5. Well, I don't want to buy a rose for €5. Well, it's in your hand now. You've got to give it to me. That's not a gift. That's a deal that you didn't know you were in on. And we turn our sacrifices into demands all too often. And it's a toxic situation, families where, you know, families are together and they are doing things for each other, because that's what families are supposed to do, but then they hold it over each other's head, and that's not sacrifice, and that's not healthy, and that's not what makes for a great family. And we all know exactly when this is happening, when we're on the wrong side of it. But all of these things need to come into play in order for families to be made strong through sacrifice. Now let's look at some passages that make this point. And a lot of them are not necessarily passages that you would immediately think are about family or about that kind of thing, but they do come into play. And one of them is this passage here in Genesis chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. Abraham and Lot were having a family problem. The family problem was too many sheep, too many goats. Lot had a bunch, and Abraham had a bunch, and there wasn't enough pasture for both of them, and so their servants, their shepherds, were fighting with each other, and Abraham says, let's not fight. Let's not quarrel about this. You choose, Lot. You choose which way to go, and I'll go the other way. Now, essentially what Abraham does is he sacrifices. He sacrifices first choice. He sacrifices the preference on where to go. And this is a wise thing for Abraham to do. And it worked out well to his favor to make that sacrifice, as we know from the story. But he didn't make it because he knew it was wise, or he didn't make it because he knew how it would work out. He made that choice to let his nephew choose which way to go because he was making a sacrifice. He loved Lot. He wanted to get along with him. He sincerely did not want to quarrel with him. And he says, I defer to you. I'm the uncle, you're the nephew, but I defer to you. I'll let you choose. You choose which way to go, and I'll go the other way. And that's what you do. That's what you do in families and in marriage. You defer. You make a sacrifice of preference. Because that's just how things work if a family is going to work. You don't gripe and complain about it and hold it over your head years later and say, you know, right back when you chose the better. You don't do that. You don't do it. You don't do it. Because that's not really sacrifice. Look at Genesis 29. Jacob fell in love with Rachel, and he wanted to marry her, and so worked for me for 7 years. And he did. And he didn't complain about it. In fact, the verse says here in Genesis chapter 29, verse 20, it says it seemed but a few days because of his love for her. He willingly made that sacrifice, gladly made that sacrifice. And it didn't seem even like a sacrifice because he loved her so much. And that's the way it ought to be, you know, in marriage or in family. You ought to be so happy that this person is in your life and that you have them with you and that you have them to sacrifice for that it doesn't even seem like a sacrifice. And that's the ideal. That's ideally how it works. But, you know, the Bible is also a book about the cold, hard reality of life. It's not always like this. In fact, years later, after Laban, of course, tricked Jacob, and he had to work another 7 years for Leah and for Rachel, and for many years even after that. And when Jacob had had enough, finally, of working for Laban, and he wanted to strike out on his own, and Laban confronts him. And Jacob pretty much puts him in his place and says, this is how you've treated me. This is how things have gone. It's here that we really get a sense of how Jacob felt about his life in the household of Laban. And he says in Genesis 31, verses 40 and 41, he says, this is my situation. The heat consumed me in the daytime and the cold at night, and sleep fled from my eyes. It was like this for 20 years I was in your household. So, as much as in the beginning, and for a period, and at times, the sacrifices that we make seem as nothing, they don't always seem as nothing. And at times, we feel like Jacob, and we think about all of the sacrifices that we've made. Now, I said that you don't hold it over people and you don't bring it up. In this case, it had to be done because Laban was trying to force Jacob to stay. And Jacob had to make his point. And in healthy relationships, sometimes you need to do that. You have to make a point. You have to say, look, this relationship hasn't been working the way that it's supposed to because you have expected too much. And that's part of a healthy relationship too. But you know, I get the impression from this statement, this is the first time that Jacob ever said this to Laban. And for 20 years it had worked because Jacob was willing to make those sacrifices. And that's what you need to do. That's what you have to do. It's not easy. It's tough. Some of the things you have to do for your family, for your husband or for your wife, things you don't want to do, things that kind of grate on you and weigh on you at times. And you have to decide. You have to say, well, this is family. This is what I want. I don't necessarily want to make all of these sacrifices, but I want this family, and I see this as a means to that end. And I want that to be positive. I want it to be something that I relish and I enjoy and I appreciate. And so sometimes it takes a conversation like this one in order to get to that point. But you understand Jacob's position in that family and what he had to do to make that whole situation work. And it did work. In the end, it worked for Jacob and his family and the people that he cared about. Let's talk about Ruth. We talked about Ruth last week with respect to commitment and the commitment she made to her mother-in-law, Naomi. And of course, in making that commitment, Ruth had to make sacrifices. And at the beginning of that relationship, that commitment that Ruth made to Naomi, Naomi said, look, what's in it for you? What are you going to get out of this? Why would you go with me? I'm a widow. You're a widow. I have nothing. You have nothing. I'm going to go back and be a poor person in my home country, and it's not even your country, and it's not even your people, so why would you do that? And of course, we talked about this last week, that Ruth did it because she loved Naomi and wanted to take care of her, didn't want to leave her behind. She valued the relationship more than the sacrifice that she was making to keep it, and that's what you have to do. You have to value the relationship more than the sacrifice that you're making. And in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 2, Ruth says to Naomi, she says, well, we got to eat. I'm going to go out and I'm going to glean in the fields. Please let me go into the fields and glean heads of grain. It's the kind of thing that you don't ordinarily expect or hear from your family members, your children especially. Please, let me go out and pick up little grains out of the field so that we could eat. Please let me do that. Well, that's what she did. She made that sacrifice. She sacrificed her time and her labor and, you know, her comfort. She sacrificed those things for herself, yes, but also for Naomi. Because Naomi couldn't do that. She couldn't go out and work as Ruth could. But Ruth did it for Naomi. She made that sacrifice. And that's what you do. That's what you do for family. You make that sacrifice. And then finally, when Ruth more or less offered herself in marriage to Boaz, who was an older gentleman, and she did that in order to secure the livelihood for herself and for Naomi. And Boaz recognized that, and he said, the Lord bless you for making this decision. He says, this kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after younger men, whether rich or poor. Now, see, this isn't like these, you know, you see a Hollywood movie or a Disney movie where, you know, you don't have to sacrifice your preference. If you just hold out for what you prefer, for the optimal, then you know, you're going to get the optimal. You're going to get the thing that you prefer. Well, life's not like that in reality. And sometimes you choose something perhaps that you wouldn't ordinarily choose or what you would prefer. And you do that for family. You do that for people that you care about and you love. And that is the real wonderful, beautiful thing about family. So, the Lord bless you, Boaz said. And that's exactly what the Lord does when we make these kinds of decisions. You see, Ruth sacrificed her security. She sacrificed her comfort. She sacrificed her preference. And the Lord blessed her. And I don't know exactly how the Lord's going to bless you if you make similar sacrifices in your marriage, in your family, for your children. And it may not be everything that you want, but it will be something wonderful. And you can't have it any other way. Cannot have everything that you want. Even part of what you can't have anything that you want in terms of a family without sacrifice. And as people of faith, you see, we know this part is true, regardless of how things work out in this life. Maybe your marriage isn't, you've made the sacrifices and your marriage isn't what you want. Or you've made the sacrifices for your children and they didn't appreciate it and they didn't love you and they didn't respect you. And that hurts. But in the end, the Lord will bless you. And that is our faith. That's where our faith really is practiced. It's practiced in our homes, in our families, where we give and we sacrifice. And we know the Scripture is true, that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We know that. That we do have a family that will appreciate and welcome and respect and love us forever. We have that family as Christians. And so in our earthly families, we don't have a problem with sacrificing. And that's part of the answer anyway. Proverbs 31 and verse 15, talking about the excellent wife. She rises while it is still night to provide food for her household and portions for her maidens. Now, why would she do that? You get up and make your own toast. You want to eat oatmeal, get up and make it yourself. I'm going to lay in bed. I didn't have a mother who said that. I had a mother like this. I had a grandmother like that. I had a great-grandmother like that. People who understood the value and purpose of sacrifice. I'm a better man for it. I appreciate what my mother did for me, my grandmother. I appreciate it. The Lord certainly does, anyway. An excellent wife. Excellent. Because she makes sacrifices. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 4, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband, likewise the husband, does not have authority over his own body, but the wife. You see, this thing about being one flesh means that it's not just about you, it's about this other person and their needs, and those needs need to be met, and that's part of the point of marriage, it's part of the point of having a family. And it applies to certain things like sexual intimacy, but every other aspect of life too, really. It's not your body, it's hers. It's not, you know, it's not your body, it's his. And maybe that means that you don't always get things exactly the way that you want them to be, but you give and you give. And you give some more. Because, well, that's what it is. Marriage is not getting. It's giving. Parenthood, motherhood, fatherhood is not getting, it's giving. Now, there is some getting. That does come. That's good. That's sweet. But primarily what it is, it's giving. It's what it is. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, I want you to be free from concern. So, don't get married. Better not to get married, because when you're married, you're concerned. As he goes on to say in verse 33, but one who is married is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. And I can just imagine some of those Corinthian brethren saying, oh, it's not really that big of a deal. I'm not really that. No, Paul, I'm not really that concerned about how to please my wife. It doesn't really bother me at all. Well, it ought to. You ought to be concerned with how to please your wife. And, of course, it goes on to say that wives ought to be concerned about how to please their husbands, too. I left that part out. It's in there. You can read it yourself. We ought to be concerned about how to please our wives and our husbands. That means making sacrifices, because that's the deal. Passage in Ephesians, of course, comes into play. Husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. You see the ought there. The ought. Seems like an obligation, doesn't it? The ought. You ought to. Well, what does the obligation derive from? Is just some kind of command that comes down on you? God says, I have to love my wife. So I guess I gotta love my wife. Well, that's not really loving her the way that this passage is talking about. As your own bodies. Is it a sacrifice to love your own body? Is it hard for you to serve your own body? Is it a struggle and a strain? And do you gripe and complain because you have to do things for your own body? No. And that's the way you ought to love your wife. Can't believe I got to brush you again today. Can't believe I got to wash these hands. These hands are so ornery, they make me wash them every day. I got to feed the stomach. Oh, man, I can't believe this stomach wants to be fed again. Well, you don't think that way because that's stupid. It's your own body. Love your wife that way. He who loves his own wife is really just loving himself. And you ought to see it that way. You ought to think of it that way. The sacrifice becomes not a sacrifice when you think that way. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it. Because it's his own flesh. It's part of him. And that's the way you ought to think about it. Honor your father and mother. And as Jesus points out in his application of this, Pharisees, that means help them out, support them, give them money even when they need money, when they need your support, when they can't take care of themselves. And I've seen this done over and over and over again by people in my life. Many of you here have done it and are doing it. I watched my own father take care of my grandmother and grandfather for years and years and years because my grandfather was an invalid. And he would go and he would spend his afternoons taking care of his house and then going over and taking care of Grandma and Grandpa's house and mowing their yard and painting their house and fixing things in their house. And he did that year in and year out. And I never once heard him complain about that. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household. Make some return to their parents. Well, return means sacrifice. That's what it means. That's what you do. If anyone doesn't do it, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith, is worse than an unbeliever. Now, that sounds like a pretty heavy command or, you know, obligation. You do it because you're supposed to, you have to, or what have you. But it is your household. It is your home. It's yours. So, you know, how much of a sacrifice is it really? It's like when you move money from one of your bank accounts into your other bank accounts if you're fortunate enough to have more than one. It's still your bank account. It's still yours. It's yours. How much of a sacrifice is it? It's your family. Your own. That's the way you ought to think about it anyway. Provide for his own, especially for those of his household. And finally, this passage in Titus chapter 2, where older women are to encourage younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, because the word there is operative, isn't it? Their husband, there. It's your husband. It's your children. To be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Now, that may not be PC, but it is C. It is correct. It is right to think that way, to expect that your life will be that way, because that's family. And there's a blessing at the end of all of that. There's a blessing in the middle of it. In conclusion, we should make sacrifices for our families out of love. It should be motivated from love. It should be motivated out of genuine concern, genuine buy-in, genuine commitment, not just out of obligation, not just because somebody's going to look down on you if you don't, but because that's what you want. And if it's not what you want, then make yourself want it. Or don't get yourself in that situation to start with. It brings about all the good and comfort that family is about. When families sacrifice for each other, and they do so not because they're trying to lay guilt on each other, not because they hold it over each other's head, but they genuinely care about each other, and they sacrifice for each other, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. I've been in the middle of it my whole life. And I'm trying to carry it forward because it's been so good. We should not resent it or hold it over our loved ones. We should not, because that's the opposite of sacrifice. That destroys the sacrifice. It destroys everything that we're trying to do when we resent what we must do for our families. We should relish the chance. When I have to do something that I don't want to do for the people that I love, I always say a prayer. And I say, thank you. Thank you that I have these people in my life that I can do this for. And it kind of changes the attitude. That's what family is. That's what sacrificing family is. And that's my lesson today. Now, somebody made a sacrifice for you because he wants you in his family. And it was painful. And it hurt him. And in part, he didn't want to do it. But he did. Out of genuine love and concern for you. And he's not trying to hold it over your head or force you into this relationship. He offers it to you freely and willingly. And you don't have to take it if you don't want it. I advise you to. Become part of a family of a man who died for you. Because it's a wonderful thing. And it will entail sacrifices. It will entail a lot of sacrifices. But you should give them and offer them willingly and in love. Because something wonderful comes from it. And if you're wanting to become a Christian today, by giving your life to the Lord, he gave his life for you, you give your life for him, it'll be a beautiful thing if you want to do that. Declare your faith in Jesus Christ. Confess his name. Turn from sin. Be baptized in his name. And he will welcome you into his family. Come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing.